Hi, and welcome to another one of our podcasts. And we are still going through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Today, we have made it all the way up to section 290. And we're looking at the creation. And now we're going to get a little bit more into detail on what the creation means, how it means, and just getting it all together as far as understanding creation in its most proper situation. But before we do that, let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Father, you are a living being, and you are not an impersonal owner, but a Father. And your glory is that of a person who is entirely human. You created us and gave us creativity. You are responsible for us being here. You endowed us with responsibility, and you are eternally new. And you inspire us to seek ever new fulfillment according to your divine plan. You are the liberating God of the Exodus who inspired us to seek true freedom constantly, to help us to free ourselves from all selflessness, and to go out of ourselves to others and to you. You are infinite love. You invite us to be new people and bring your love to others. Grant us the power to labor in the world with true freedom, honest creativity, with an ungrudging responsibility and complete selflessness, and with true love for every person. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. So here we are in the Catechism, section 290. We've looked at creation, we've looked at different ways of being able to understand creation. Now we're getting into the nuts and bolts of what the Catechism and the Church tell us we are to understand about the creation situation. And one of the first things that it brings about is that it is a work of the complete Holy Trinity. This is something that is beyond question because both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have their part, their role in the creation of humanity. And as 290 points out, the very first phrase or statement in the Bible found in Genesis 1, verse 1, begins this way and states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." What we see in these three things are affirmed in these first words of scriptures that God himself exists, he alone is the creator, and that everything that exists can be summed up in the totality of the term heavens and earth. So the three things, God, two, created, three, heaven and earth. So the three things affirmed in these first three parts are these individual receptacles. The first being that the eternal God gave a beginning to everything that creates and that exists outside of himself. This is a fundamental starting point for anything that we get into theologically, because the understanding of God as existing apart from creation is a very foundational thing when we are considering who he is, what he is, and how he relates to us. In fact, the reason why he transcends anything we can think in this world is because he's outside of this world. And the scriptures tell us that his ways are not our ways, and our ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts. It's because of the simple fact that he is more than we are able to comprehend or perceive, because what we perceive is only a shadow and type. It's like the tip of the iceberg. And that's really what's being talked about here. And everything that exists, you, me, the universe, this desk, this table, this computer, that lamp, that bookshelf, everything in this building here, all exist separate from the reality of God, but God transcends that reality. So that's the first thing that we get. We also find out that because God created the heavens and the earth, that he alone is the creator. There's no other being, there's no other entity other than God that creates and brings it into being those things that be not as though they were. I know you've heard the scripture, and you've heard maybe various Protestant preachers in the Word of Faith talk about how your word of confession can create reality. Well, that's not real and that's not true. Because when Abraham believed, he believed in him who was able to call those things that be not as though they were. That's why he believed in God. He hoped against hope and believed in God more than he believed in the circumstances. So this is a reality. And as the Catechism tells us, God alone is the creator. The verb to create in Hebrew is bara. It always has God for its subject. There is no other use for the word create other than God in the Hebrew contents of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, you can quote-unquote create a masterwork of art like Leonardo da Vinci, but you're not really creating. You're using material that's already existing and has existed, and you're putting it together in a unique way to make or fashion something that is unique and new. But when it comes to creation, creation is bringing things that be not as though they were. And that is something that only God can do. So the Hebrew word bara basically relates to that. And the totality of what exists is expressed by the formula, the heavens and the earth, shows that there is a dependence upon the one who gives it being to have it exist in the first place. So everything that exists. And one thing that we can take a little bit further is that the heavens relate to what is unseen and the earth to what is seen. So all material matter is earth in this sense, and all spiritual metaphysical matter is the heavens. And this is something that God brings into being. So angelic beings and animals are all brought into being through God's almighty power because he's the one that brings them into existence. We know this is the way to understand the heavens and the earth from this particular passage of scripture because the Catechism way back in the 300-400 ADs basically declared that God our Father created the heavens and the earth. And the Nicene Creed said that he's the creator of all things seen and unseen. And this is a reiteration from the Greek in John's Gospel when it talks about Jesus Christ creating all things and such. So it delves a little bit more into it. And as we'll go into, we can see this when we're looking at 291, about how Jesus Christ is also part of the creation process. Because in 291, we get the quote from John's Gospel, 1 verses 1 through 3, where it talks about in the beginning was the Word was God, and all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So nothing comes into being, nothing in the heavens, nothing in the earth that comes into being did not come into being without Jesus Christ doing something to be a part of it. And that the New Testament, continuing in 291, and that the New Testament reveals that God created everything by the eternal Word, his beloved Son, we come to understand, and this is the point where we're going to expound a little bit, we get to see that we ourselves are the product of Jesus Christ and his emanation into the world. That Adam and Eve came into existence because of the spoken word of God. And that's really the unique situation that comes out that way. So the New Testament reveals that God created everything by the eternal word, his beloved Son. It is in Jesus that all things were created in heaven and on earth. This is a quote from the Nicene Creed. Which I was just talking about, where all things were created through him and for him. He is therefore before everything, in all things, he holds them together. So it's one of those things to where it's talking about how Jesus Christ and his being the second person of the Trinity is the one that brings you and me into existence. The reason why there can be new birth is because the first birth was brought in the same fashion into existence. So that's something that really moves forward that way. So that's a very important part to keep in mind.
The church's faith likewise confesses the creative action of the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of life, the creator spirit. Veni Creator Spiritus, in one of its Pentecost prayers, which just basically relates to the heavenly King and Consoler, the Holy Spirit, who is a creator. And he is seen as the very source of every good. So that we are able to do any good whatsoever is the result of the Holy Spirit acting upon us and allowing us to be able to act in a unique way. So when we just, as a little simple review, just to see it and picture it in our minds, God the Father is seen in the first chapter of Genesis, verse 1, as being the God who creates the heavens and the earth. We get to see in the second portion, 291, that Jesus Christ, the Word, which was God, is the him that the all things were created for, through, and with the aid of. And then when we go to the confession of the church and the creeds, we see the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. In fact, he's the giver of life because the breath of God was breathed into Adam's nostrils and man became a living being, a living soul, which shows that the non-physical parts of us united with the physical parts of us make up the complete us in order for us to be a living soul. And that's something that's very important when we go forth. So understanding this is really important for us to really grab the full depths of everything that's talked about. And as we move into 291, the Old Testament suggests that the New Covenant reveals the creative action of the Son and the Spirit inseparably, one with that of the Father. This is something that is very important as we go forth, that no individual person, if you will, of the Trinity acts independent of the other in the simple creative process. There is a differentiation between how they are seen to have worked because the Spirit was brooding upon the waters in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, because the Spirit was there hovering or swept over the abyss that the waters were, and therefore he was present for the creation moment there. And we are even reminded in new birth that the Holy Spirit is the one who births us again, because we are born not just by water, but by the Spirit. So this is something that's very important there. So the creative action of the Son and the Spirit are inseparably one with that of the Father, which speaks of the unity and how they're not individuals separate from one another, but they are individuals with one another. The creative cooperation that clearly affirms the church's rule of faith that there exists only one God, who is the Father, God, the creator, the author, the giver of order. He made all things by himself, that is, by his word, and by his wisdom. That is another way of saying by the Son and the Spirit, who, so to speak, are his hands. Creation is a common work of the entire Holy Trinity. So when we understand creation, we also touch into the Holy Trinity in a sense, because we see God, he says, let there be light, and there was light. So the Father speaks, let there be light. Jesus is the words, let there be light. And the Holy Spirit is, and there was light, because he brought it all together. And that's how the Trinity works in concert. But it's all the action of the same one God. That's why there's not multiple persons or deities being seen in Genesis. And this is the important bedrock. And as we really get into the depths of it, the foundation of creation, the foundation of everything in the Old Testament, and even in the New, is to show the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because all three of them are united in the simple fact that they are of one substance. They're of one nature. They're of one being. The differentiation is a differentiation of individualism, which is a totally separate matter than how it would be in determining personhood between you and me, because our personhoods are determined by us having space between us and bodies separate from each other. In the sense of the Trinity, it's more like the conjoined twins that share the same body part, and therefore their bodies are united. So in a sense, they are one body. And in the sense of the church understanding how the fetus is one body with the mother, but two distinct individuals that share that common nature. So when we're looking at creation, we see these three working together. And as the catechism tries to explain, it's like if my mind gives a command to my hand to do something, my hand does it, my mind does it, but I can differentiate the action. So that's where we get Father, Son, Holy Spirit in creation. It's not necessarily that they are separate individual persons. It is the one true God doing all of them. And if we keep that together, we'll really get it. So I don't want to belabor this point. I know it's a little bit of a confusing section of the catechism, like any time you deal with the Trinity. But the most important thing is to understand that when we're talking about creation, we're talking about the three things that are part of the creation. God, who exists outside of the universe that brings everything in. He's the one that alone is the creator, because he's the only one that can create and bring things into existence. What he brings into existence is everything that's seen, everything that's not seen, and that is not him. So anything that exists that cannot be defined as God, that is the created, and that includes you and me. And each person of the Trinity has a play or a part to play in bringing about all these other entities. Yet it's because these entities of creation are emanating out in a very unique way of the unity of the Godhead, we can see God as one God, a monotheistic God, and truly have some kind of relationship with him as a result, because we see God alone being the only God. And this is where the Hebrews were able to tell you that the Lord God is one. There's only one God. It's monotheism, period. And that's the most important part. So when we're trying to wrap ourselves around creation, we need to try to keep these in mind, especially because it's supposed to lead us into a further reflection about how God is the Trinity, the three persons yet one being, so that we can truly enter into a deeper fellowship with him. And it's because we enter into this deeper fellowship that we're able to truly get to know him, relate with him, and in ourselves be blessed.